This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling.
Introducing Meta Ray-Ban Display, the world's most advanced AI glasses. With a full color display built into the lens of the glasses, it's there when you need it and gone when you don't. Send and receive messages, translate or caption live conversations, collaborate with Meta AI, and more. Be one of the first to try Meta Ray-Ban Display. Visit meta.com/Meta Ray-Ban Display to book a demo and find your pair.
If we knew more about our sleep, what would we do differently? Would we go to bed at a consistent time or take steps to reduce interruptions to our sleep? With the all-new Sleep Score, Apple Watch measures your bedtime consistency, interruptions, and sleep duration. Then, every morning it combines these factors into an easy-to-understand score from 1 to 100. So you'll know how to take the quality of your sleep from good to excellent. Introducing the new Sleep Score on Apple Watch. iPhone 11 or later required.
Hi, everyone. I trust you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Let's get back to action. Here's the show. This is One Nation. I'm Brian Kilmeade. Coming up on the show tonight, you're going to love it. Tim and Demi Tebow, the power couple with two great books. You're going to love their message. And Tammy Pescatelli is here, one of the funniest people you'll see doing stand-up. She's going to do a news duel and bring back the magic of that. And Dr. Mark Siegel, Obamacare, from a clinical perspective, from the DACA perspective, what went wrong, how to fix it, and he's got this book out about miracles. He's going to share one with you. But first, it's time for this. The state of our education system, not good.
To reverse our national decline with a hard reset of our educational system. That reset was a top campaign promise from President Trump to send education back to the states and end Washington's micromanagement of education once and for all.
Yep, they're pushing it away from Washington. There's no wonder why the Trump administration is working so hard to restore our educational system back to what he calls the golden standard. It's been in a shambles. Indoctrination, woke agendas have our kids, your kids, falling behind. About half of all public school students were behind in at least one subject at the start of the 23-24 year. Can you imagine what this year's like? In 24, by the way, 40% of fourth graders, one-third of eighth graders, were below the basic level in reading, while nearly half, 45%, of the 12th graders scored below grade level in math. How are we going to get anywhere as a country with this happening? And on the world stage, math scores for U.S. students have hit an all-time low. So, while parents wait for the administration to turn this all around, they're taking matters into their own hands. Some are homeschooling their kids. In fact, more. In last year, homeschooling increased on an average of 5.4%. Pretty impressive. Nearly three times the pre-pandemic homeschooling growth rate of around 2%. A lot of them group together with their blocks, and it becomes their own mini classroom. Maybe you know about that. So how do we get back to the benchmark where America's making progress again? Let's ask a man who has made it his mission to dismantle DEI and the current condition of our education system, none other than Chris Rufo. Chris Rufo. Chris, welcome. Those numbers did not surprise you. What are we doing about it?
Well, it's very interesting. COVID was really the great disruptor of the educational status quo. Parents across the country saw the problems with the general education system in the United States. And the more they take action, the more we're seeing students achieve. So states can help with universal school choice. And so I'm optimistic about education. The more parents understand what's wrong, the more energy they put into fixing it. And that's ultimately what's going to help America's kids. We can't rely on the Department of Education in Washington, D.C. Education happens in the home. It happens in the local institutions. It happens in churches and schools. And that's where our focus needs to be.
So, you know, so interesting is when we ask parents, you know, why are you homeschooling your kids? Here are some of the reasons. 83% said the school environment, safety, drug exposure, peer pressure. 72% say dissatisfaction with the instruction, which you have mentioned. 53% want more religion in school and its instruction. We could always find that, but a lot of times that's a tuition. And 50% provide non-traditional approach. I was amazed how many people tell me that they basically set up their own classrooms where kids in the neighborhood come over and also multiple grades may be sitting in somebody's kitchen learning. I'm surprised that's really taken root.
Yeah, that's right. It's not one size fits all. And Brian, I'll tell you, my wife actually did that this past year with one of our kids. They had a math pod where parents would send their kids from all over the neighborhood. They'd study math together. And it was an extraordinarily effective way of teaching. These kids were learning at about double the rate of the traditional public school curriculum. They loved it. It was safe. It was fun. And so we're in a renaissance of American education. And parents who care about their kids are going to figure out it's not a one-size-fits-all system. Each kid might have unique needs. Different systems might be the best fit. And so I think these are all very positive signs.
I know. For the most part, though, think about all the social skills you do get in public school. You know, the things you're exposed to, but it's not going to happen with homeschool. That's something every parent has to weigh. All right, some good news. I read this story earlier this week in the Wall Street Journal, and it seems like colleges are getting the message to a degree. My fingers are crossed. Elite colleges, this is a tear from the story, like Harvard, Columbia, Emory, Wesleyan, have added essay questions in the last couple of years, asking applicants this, to recount a dispute with someone whose beliefs differ from your own, known as a disagreement essay. Its rise comes as conservatives accuse schools of being hotbeds of liberal groupthink where students can't tolerate dissent. So we're seeing questions. They want to build skills so people can understand how to talk to people they disagree with. Can we be a little bit pleased by some of this? And a lot of this is because of things that you've exposed?
Yeah, I think administrators in elite universities are starting to feel the heat. They're realizing that they can't simply have a left-wing monoculture in these institutions. This is a good sign that they're trying to broaden their horizons. They're trying to bring in dissenting viewpoints. And look, liberal education, the actual phrase liberal education, does not mean left-wing education.
Yes.
It comes from the Latin word liber, meaning freedom. So you're training free people how to live in a system of a free society. And that really means pluralistic debate and rigorous disputes on campus. If this is an early sign, I'm optimistic, you know, but I won't hold my breath.
Right. I think there's a lot of pressure as long as this president's in office to do that because he is not shy about holding back funding. I think you've noticed. I know they have. Lastly, Chicago public schools are an abomination. Now this is exposed by an audit. They are blowing millions of dollars on travel expenses, not for students, but they're blowing it on teachers so they can go to conferences to the tune of $23.6 million over the last 6 years.
And that's exactly how they're doing it. They're feathering their own beds. They're raiding retirement funds. They're bilking the taxpayer and giving very little back to students.
I mean, they're going overseas to do this. They're going to conferences, going to Las Vegas, going early, staying late and coming back. You would think there'd be a degree of guilt when you see how deprived some of these public schools are, despite flooding it with money.
Yeah, you'd think that, but these are shameless institutions. They're not in it for the kids. They're in it for themselves. And so Chicago is facing this desperate crisis. And I think that's going to be an increasingly big conflict. And to the extent that the federal government can do something about it, I think withholding some of those federal funds from Chicago until they get their act together is something that we should think about.
All right, Chris, thanks so much. I also want to catch up to you again and to follow up the story that you broke about what's going on with the Somali immigrants, many of which are illegal, over in Minnesota. Thanks so much. Meanwhile, the government shutdown may be over for now, at least until January 30th. At the center of the 43 standoff, though, is, they say, Democrats in particular, a fight for Obamacare and the subsidies. Now, during the pandemic, if you don't remember, this is what happened. Obamacare subsidies flooded in, thanks to Joe Biden. Now those premium tax credits are due to expire at the end of the year. And suddenly it's the Republicans' fault. And while the politicians continue to battle and point fingers, we know one thing. Obamacare is flat out unaffordable. They call it the Affordable Care Act, right? And what exactly is wrong with it to make it unaffordable? In all honesty, there's no way President Obama thought all these years later it would be this chaotic, this much of a mess. Here to explain it is a guy that usually wears the smock and takes in patients when he's not on television, Dr. Mark Siegel, Fox News medical analyst and author of the new hit book, Miracles Among Us, How God's Grace Plays a Role in Healing. So, Dr. Siegel, what went wrong? We remember the debate about it, but from the medical perspective, why is it that the average deductible is $6,000? Why is it that people are getting this that are 400% over the poverty level.
Let's go back to the beginning. 160 million people in this country get employer-based insurance. It works for them. They're happy with it. It covers very, very high-tech care, and it's moving in the direction of covering personalized medical solutions, AI, all of that is coming down the road. Obamacare should have been based on that, but the model for Obamacare never was. From the beginning, it was always like, okay, we're going to cover your colonoscopy or mammogram, but if you get really sick, there's this huge deductible you were talking about, and you could fall right in the middle of that. That's A. B, hospitals and doctors never signed on to Obamacare, so you can't get the same doctors that the employer-based insurers get. Third, a deal was made with the insurance companies by President Obama. He didn't make a deal across the aisle with the Republicans, as you recall. He made a deal with the insurance companies who have this huge lobby in Congress, and they deal privately with the drug manufacturers. So you end up with prices not even being transparent. Nobody knows what anything is costing. You know that the federal subsidies that you're talking about are $1 trillion? $1 trillion out of the federal budget goes to propping up this broken system.
So when you find out there's a patient that wants to see Dr. Siegel and he has Obamacare, it's not only you, but other people at the NYU where you work. What is your reaction? Do you have to have a business, too. You have bills. Do you take Obamacare?
I don't. And most doctors don't. That's the secret. Now, the medical center may take certain policies of Obamacare. And then if you're an employee, you take it. But private doctors, doctors in practice or doctors in groups, try to shy away from this because they're being paid very little for it. And because, Brian, there's a liability if I want to get a test and I can't get it because the insurance doesn't cover it.
What do you mean?
Well, so let's say I find the problem with the thyroid and I say I want to get a needle biopsy and their insurance doesn't cover it. I'm still stuck having written that they need a biopsy. They say I can't get it. What if, God forbid, they have cancer and I can't get the test?
So do you think it would help if people got that money into their own health care savings accounts so they could decide what to do with that money as opposed to giving the subsidies $1 trillion to the healthcare companies?
Trump's idea is a step in the right direction. We could start the beginning of life with these accounts. We could build them up over the years. We could make our own decisions. It could be more free market. And we could also negotiate. Oh, look, that echocardiogram costs less uptown. I'm going uptown to get the test.
So you have this book out. It's a bestseller instantly. It's called The Miracles Among Us, How God's Grace Plays a Role in Healing. And throughout your book tour, you're talking about different stories. So I said, Dr. Siegel, what's one that you haven't talked about yet? And you talked about Shane's miracles. Tell me about it.
And for a lot of people, it's their favorite story in this book. I saved it for you because you're one of my favorite people.
Thank you.
It's a sports story. In Dominican Republic, I have two stories in there about people who dive off the back of recreational boats, and get hurt. Shane is swimming over to the boat when someone turns the propeller on, and he ends up getting his leg badly damaged. But the first miracle is that the artery and nerve, the sciatic nerve, are preserved. You literally could see them. Never happens before. Within a millimeter of the nerve that it causes the whole leg to function. He gets to the hospital, and two great doctors, Spector and Wellman, work hand in glove. They use tissue expanders. They use debridement. They rebuild an entire hip. They fight infections.
Right.
It's like a war. They're fighting and fighting. They use beads against infection. And slowly but surely, over the months, Shane's leg is fixed. With God's intervention, both of them very religious, with great surgeons. Right. And in the end, he's water skiing again. He walks to graduation. Look at him.
Wow.
Look at him. He's back to where he was. Now, Brian, to put the two stories together, this is expensive. You have to have a healthcare system that can afford to pay for this miracle.
Good point. Here's an excerpt from the book in his own words. He says, I remember when I first got to the hospital, they told me I would likely never be able to walk or run again. Sports for you are done, they said. At best, you're going to walk with a bad limp with a leg length discrepancy. We'll have to get a boost in your shoes because it's going to be off. But I got none of that. Everything's good. I play sports. I snowboard. I wakeboard. A lot of it is right hospital, too. You got to get the right surgeon.
It's the right time. He was airlifted. These guys never gave up. The prize was full recovery. And he's a physician's assistant, and he's worked with them, by the way, in his role.
Wow.
They're artists of medicine, and they rely on faith as well as tremendous skill. They would never give up.
And on a lesser note, it's probably not worthy of a book, but we would do need a miracle to fix Obamacare, sadly.
I was thinking the same thing.
Right. Thanks so much, Dr. Siegel. Congratulations on all the book sales. Meanwhile, counterfeiting in China is on the rise. how it's impacting our U.S. companies, and the surprising government, our government stance, not really fighting enough for us. And still to come on this show, Tim and Demi Tebow are here for an interview you won't want to miss. You are watching One Nation. Glad you are. Quick note, be sure to catch me on Fox Nation, History, Liberty, and Laughs, as we stream live on Valentine's Day. It'll be a romantic sort of show, red, white, and bluish. Fort Myers, Florida, BrianKilmeade.com. To the things I believe in, my faith, your love,
our freedom, to the things I can...
So it's a hidden war draining American businesses. China's counterfeit boom is exploding, and it's bleeding U.S. companies dry, costing about $600 billion a year. Case in point, the choking rescue device LifeVac. You've probably seen it on our channel. It saved, as of now, over 5,000 lives. Schools and workplaces are where you find it. It's happened over the last 10 years. Success story, right? Well, the real one is made here in America, but the fake ones are coming from China. Here's what the real-life LifeVac looks like. You see it right there. Like, compared to the knockoff. Now, the problem is, if you have a LifeVac that doesn't work, people die. Even more stunning, take a closer look at the base of the fake one. You see it says made in America? That's a lie. That does not appear on the genuine device, by the way. And it's not just China. The U.S. patent system isn't doing independent innovators any favors, giving the upper hand to large corporations. Let's talk to two business people, small business people, entrepreneurs that are feeling the struggle. Inventor and founder of Jump and Rope, Molly Metz, and LifeVac inventor and founder, Arthur Lee. Welcome to both of you. And Molly, let me start with you. You invent the jump rope, you get the patent, things are going well, you think you're going to be printing money. What happened?
I'll tell you what happened is you get a patent and it just opens the floodgates for China to steal and replicate. I had a big business here in America who was going to do a deal with me, a licensing deal. Instead of doing that deal, they stole from me and then they produced all of their jump ropes in China. So it kills small businesses like myself.
So what recourse did you have? I would think go to the patent office. They'll fight for you. What happened?
So actually, I had over 150 people, companies stealing my technology. So as a small business owner, your full-time job becomes filing, complaints against these companies. And I did that for 3 years. I was able to shut down all 150 companies. Right. And then in 2018, I went after my largest infringer, Rogue Fitness. And you'd think that my IP would protect me. It doesn't. I wasn't even allowed to go to court. So I was denied due process. And I was sent to an administrative tribunal where my patents were invalidated. So I went a whole decade of my business, fought all these infringers, and now my patents are gone.
So, Arthur, what's your story? You're out, you're rolling, you're saving lives, you're tallying it up, and all of a sudden when did you realize someone knocked off your product?
Well, here's what's the value to your audience. If you're on Amazon, Facebook, right, and you are successful, you get knocked off. So the first 6 years where we weren't selling too many, you know, we saved zero lives, 4, 6, 12. As soon as you hit it big, boom, they come in like a wave in like a week. We had 80 million views. Next week, we had patents. We had products knocking us off.
So you go to the patent office and then you got to get it?
They don't do nothing. The patent office is worthless.
So where'd you go?
You can't do anything. The point of your
audience... But you would think the U.S. would protect you against knockoffs overseas.
No.
Does Amazon put it on there anyway and puts your product next to the real product?
Yeah. That's the point of this. That's what the people need to know. The patent, if you make a domestic product, something, we're protected. The FDA came in and wiped out a lot of these knockoffs. Without them, you're done. Just like Molly.
So the FDA did help.
The FDA did, but if you're not a medical product like Molly, they're going to steal your product once you make it. So you spend the money on the development, you spend the money on the patent, you spend the money to work and sweat. As soon as you're successful, they come in and take it.
Right. How much money did it cost you in legal fees?
Probably, I don't know, a couple million.
How much did it cost you in terms of products?
Probably like $20
million. $20 million?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, but here's the worst part. She lost all those employees. So in the
old
days,
about you? So that's Molly.
Yeah.
But for you, you had to recover it. And is your situation OK now?
Well, we weren't able to grow. That's what prevented us. But yeah, we're OK. And we saved our 5,000 lives, 3,000 kids, God willing. And the FDA have helped us. But people like Molly are really in trouble. And people need to know that patent's not going to help you.
So, Molly, what happened? How many employees did you have? And then once the knockoff started happening, what happened to your business?
Yeah, so I had invested about $350,000 into my manufacturing business in 2010. I had 40 employees. I'm also a proud U.S.-made in manufacturer as well, so I source all my parts and pieces for my jump rope here in America. So what happened is when I went to go sue my largest infringer, which I say sue, but stop, right? The patent is a right to stop somebody from making your products. And again, I did that in 2018, and instead of getting a day in court, I was sent to an administrative tribunal, which our government set up in 2011 under bad law called the America Invents Act. And so this tribunal has wiped out thousands of small business owners like me. Wiping out meaning that they send you to this court. I spent $500,000, my life savings, and my patents were invalidated retroactively, as if I never was. So I have one employee left now. I carry a debt of about $300,000 in legal bills. And it's just devastating. I'm the true inventor. People, you know.
It's incredible. And if we look at this, big tech companies are the biggest users of the patent trial and appeal board. They have the resources. Samsung has complained. Apple, Google, Microsoft, L&G. Much different than the small business entrepreneur, right?
They just get wiped out. And the problem is, see, we spend all that time and energy in marketing.
And risk.
And they don't have any of those. They just come in, lower the price. Your marketing drives them to Amazon. The public sees a cheaper price and buys it.
Right. So how do we make sure that we get the right jump rope from Molly and the right life hack from Arthur?
It's simple. Any company that sells on Amazon has to have a U.S. presence. Then you can sue them. Then we get our tax money. So if you're on Amazon, you have to have a U.S. bank and a U.S. presence. I can sue you then if you infringe my patent. So,
but that means we should trust what we see on Amazon.
No, you can't right now because they just knock it off.
So how do we research to find out if that other knockoff business has a U.S. presence?
Well, the biggest factor is price. If you see it significantly less, it's probably a knockoff. Right.
Molly, what do you learn from this? What do you want other entrepreneurs to know about this?
I want entrepreneurs to know that our patent system is harmful right now. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. When they say a patent is to protect us, to stop our infringers, it's not. To follow law, to follow me, to follow my husband, U.S. Inventor is who we advocate with. And just to help bring back due process. It's hard enough out there fighting these Chinese knockoffs and infringers. Yeah. And when you can, and the last resort, you know, after all of that is that you lose your patents. It's just not American. I don't know what my message is other than take some time and find out who the real inventors are. Right. There's some really damaging things that can happen. You could be buying fakes and they could be very harmful to you. So
it's just so unfair. And it's not just the Arthur Molly story. This is the story in America right now. And it's fixable. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it. Molly, sorry you're going through that, but I look forward to your next product. Meanwhile, next on One Nation, Tim and Demi Lee Tebow are here to talk about their new books, their careers, faith, and becoming parents. It's an interview you don't want to miss.
But I'm blessed, looking in the eyes of my children, blessed, surrounded by the love I've been given.
Your parents have given you some.
Welcome to Fox News Live. I'm Marianne Rafferty in Los Angeles. President Trump says he is inviting the family of the National Guard member who was fatally shot last week to the White House. U.S. Army Specialist Sarah Beckstrom died after the shooting just outside the White House. Her colleague, U.S. Air Force Staff Sergeant Andrew Wolf, was left in critical condition. The president has spoken to both families about the visit. A 29-year-old Afghan national faces first-degree murder charges following the shooting. And Venezuelan officials say they are suspending all migrant deportation flights out of their country. It comes after President Trump posted on Truth Social that Venezuela's airspace should be considered closed entirely. The Trump administration says it's been striking alleged drug vessels to stop drugs coming to the U.S. from that country. President Trump saying he's considering military action against Venezuela, including U.S. land strikes from inside. I'm Marianne Rafferty. Now back to One Nation.
There's something so far beyond the hope that a game can provide. And my biggest prayer for today is that you would understand what we want for you is that when you would leave this gymnasium today that you would find a hope that is different than the world has to offer.
There you go. That's Tim Tebow recently speaking to inmates in Tennessee, encouraging them to recognize that their lives matter and they are indeed valued. Now, Tim and Demi Lee Tebow are teaming up about their faith and renewing hope in their new books, separate books, by the way. The former NFL quarterback encourages people to see others through the eyes of God in his brand new book, Look Again, Recognize Your Worth, Renew Your Hope, Run with Confidence. And his lovely wife, and I ad-libbed that, former Miss Universe in 2017, also diving into her trusting God in her new book, Knowing Who You Are Because of Who God Is. Tim and Demi Lee join us right now. The Tebows, welcome, guys.
Thank you. So, thanks for having us.
I have to start. Congratulations, your parents.
Thank you. It is so exciting. And she is just the best mom.
Right.
And I'm just the dad that's trying to figure it out.
No.
Did you find that it was instinctive for you?
I think so.
Oh, it was so instinctive for her.
So yes. It's been so sweet. But you know what the sweetest thing is? So all throughout my pregnancy, Tim like sang these sweet songs to Daphne. And the moment she was born, you know, they're crying.
I can't sing. Really bad singer.
Neither of us are good singers. Yeah. Well, they put her on my chest. And the next moment, she just looks over and hears his voice and like locks eyes with him for the first time. It totally calmed her down.
It was so sweet.
And we've seen her online. And I see her. She's absolutely beautiful.
We're biased, but we kind of think so, too.
Absolutely. So, also, I don't want you to pick what's the better book, but the theme is pretty correct. You know, religion matters, God matters, and with you...
You matter. But everyone matters. Is their worth and their mm-hmm. value, is that it's not something that is... That it goes with what you've done or it goes with what you've succeeded or failed at. And that in our society, so much of our worth and our value is based on how many likes, how many people, our job, that corner office, all of these things. And it's one of the encouragements in different ways mm-hmm. in these books is your worth is infinite. Your worth is not up for debate. Your worth is not something that comes and goes based on what society says about you.
Because that's why you have trouble finding your way. You don't know what your goals are. You don't know what you can accomplish. And you have to get a mission. So you said earlier on the radio show, you said, you know, we shouldn't go out to suck. We want to be great. There's nothing wrong with that. But just don't let it affect your self-esteem. Am I right, Demi?
That's right. I mean, we are called to strive for excellence. I don't believe that we're called to be average, to not give our best. In fact, I think it's God-honoring to strive for excellence in everything that we do.
And you had to get also as great as your college career was, you could not take 1 year for granted as a pro. So you had the ultimate success, and then every year was battling to be the starting quarterback, battling to make the roster. How did that shape you?
Well, I think many times it was humbling, and I think pruning, and I think I learned a lot from it. I think after looking back on it, I think you're really grateful for the highs because it gives you a platform. But I could also say now I'm very grateful for the lows because it teaches you and trains you and encourages you in a different way than the highs do. And I would say prunes you and humbles you many times. And I'm honestly probably hard to say sometimes when you're going through it, but now I can look back and actually say I'm grateful for the sucky moments.
And the main thing you want to do is people watching you right now, is that they're going through a hard time, you can get through it. It makes you stronger through it. And if you're not going through tribulations, you're not putting yourself out there. The key is don't be afraid to lose.
Yes, there's no doubt. Being buried and being planted looks and feels the same, except one of them means the end and the other is just the start of growth. And it matters how we look at life. And that's something that me and Demi talked about a lot, is there's been times when we feel like, man, we were buried. But perspective gives us, no, we were planted. Right. We were planted so that when we water it and when we nourish it, that one day there is going to be growth from it. And so I want to encourage people, whoever you are, where you are, there's a big difference between being buried and being planted. And I encourage you to have the mindset, no, you've been planted right where you are, even in the highs or the lows that you're going through. It doesn't have to define you because God already did in his love for you, in God's word and what Jesus did on the cross. And you can have encouragement that where you are, you have been planted, not buried.
I believe she loves you more right now, by the way. Demi, this is from your book. There's sunshine. There's so much noise in the world telling us who to be, how to look, and what success should mean. This book is about stepping away from all of that and stepping into God's truth. You can only know who you truly are when you understand who he is. Mm-hmm. Our faith is the foundation of our marriage. It's the biggest part of who I am. it shaped me into who I am today.
Yeah.
Why was that important to include in your book?
That's so important for me because I think, you know, Brian, we can't always choose or control who speaks about our life, but we get to control to a big extent who we allow to speak into our life. And this book is 100 days of devotions that I wanted to write in order to be able to give women the ability to have daily deposits into their life, to, you know, have daily deposits of truth into their life, daily reminders of who God says they are, and to remind them that they don't have to strive to be loved because they are already loved, already valued.
Right. And also, you do, it does, that you're already loved, but you should have a mission. You should feel free.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that there's going to be this somebody there for you. So, Tim and Demi, you guys have a mission. You have multiple missions. You want to feed the world, and you want to save the world. And one thing you want to do is attack sex trafficking. I want you to bring you to an excerpt of everyone to an excerpt from a sex trafficking movie that you just put out called Room 21. Anything we should know?
Yeah, it's a short film that we built this. The actors are not real. They're real actors. Obviously, we're not, you know, exploiting anybody. They're actors that came and wanted to be a part of it. But it is so many boys and girls' story. And so you watch it. It is based on real life story. And I think it'll give people a little bit of a different perspective on what so much of trafficking looks like in America. Because sometimes we just think it's, you know, for like the movie Taken, or we have these ideas of it. But what it actually really looks like most of the time.
Here's a clip. Where do you get that? Where can we see that?
You can just go to tibtiofoundation.org or go on YouTube, or I think it's probably a lot of different places.
You said it's like 10 minutes?
Yeah, I think.
About 10 minutes. What did you, to me, why is it important to get it out there?
You know, Brian, we can't attack something when we don't fully understand it. And a part of this mission was to be able to educate people on what to look out for. People always ask, how can we help? Well, just being aware and knowing the signs to look out for is already a massive step forward. Enabling people to truly understand how complex the fight against human trafficking, especially sex trafficking, is, was another really big part of our heart for this. But ultimately, helping people truly understand it's not just something that happens far away. It's something that happens right
in
here,
backyard.
In our backyard,
right here,
a mile or two away from us.
As we're talking, it is happening here. And the heart of this isn't to have, isn't for people to be overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. It's to give them awareness so that we can all step into this fight against it. You know, Brian, every single day there will be 300,000 new sex ads that will go up. Thousands and thousands of them will be of minors, of young boys and girls that are put on these sex ads, and you will have people that are going to go to these sex ads and buy the time with these boys and girls. And it is happening on a daily basis, and it is happening all over our country and all over the world. And part of our heart with Room 21 is to really fight back against the demand that some of these people, and if I showed you quotes, you would probably want to throw up, of what the buyers say, of they're not even real humans, or they're just there for my pleasure, or they're just there to be able to give me a good time. You see, they need to look again at all of these girls' actual real value and worth, not what you're paying for, but who God created them to be.
So there's two books out. Look Again, it's out this week. Recognize Your Worth, Renew Your Hope, and Run With Confidence. And then, Demi, your book, Knowing Who You Are Because of Who God Is, 100 Days to Unbreakable Faith. Thanks so much, guys. Great to see
you. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Appreciate you, brother.
All right, and I'll see you in Jacksonville.
Thank you, guys.
All right, don't move. Next, only on One Nation, we bring back the News Duel. Tammy Pescatelli in studio with the top stories you may have missed. Don't move. Again.
Lord, I guess I went and broke their family tradition. They get on me, want to know, Hank.
It's closed.
What about...
Time now for NewsDuel, the hottest stories everyone's talking about, just not on television. Joining us now, one of our favorites, comedian Tammy Pescatelli. Tammy Pescatelli. Tammy, great to see you.
Good to see you, too. I'll take all of it.
Absolutely. So are you ready for the news that not many people are getting? Number one, I don't know if you've noticed enough, because in comedy clubs, usually on stage, but it turns out the next generation is not really drinking when it comes to going to bars.
Yeah, because they're high. They all get so, you can't even walk down the street in New York City. You're in a Cheech and Chong movie.
Right.
That's why it's not a big deal they're not drinking. Because our generation drank enough for everybody.
Really?
And the one before us, too.
So just think about it, though. There's a lot of positives to it. There's a camaraderie to it. It certainly looks like that in the commercials. They are drinking, but they're drinking mocktails. So we have Professor Scott Galloway with a surprising take on this. He thinks we have to go back to drinking, America. Watch.
I think young people need to drink more. I don't see drunkenness. I see togetherness. My advice to young people is to go out and drink more and make a series of bad decisions that might pay off. I think that we need more togetherness, more people, more sex, and more random encounters. And absolutely, people need to be in the company of strangers more and more. And I think young men are sequestering. We're turning into a different species of asexual, socially isolated, lonely people who become citizens.
I love that philosophy.
Can I tell you something? He's the reason why women and men aren't drinking more. Guys like that who just steal the fun out of everything. No one wants to hear him talk about who should be drinking and having sex. He's not the guy that's the model for all this. You can't look like Lex Luthor and then try to lead a generation.
All right, next, your story.
Okay, so here's my story. There's a group of robbers nowadays that are so dumb. If you're going to steal, you got to really pay attention. There were these two kids in England who stole an iPhone. They go to sell it. But then when the cop comes, he says, has anybody been in here to steal, that tried to sell an iPhone? And the guy goes, yeah, these guys right here. So he points to him, and then he gets so nervous that he's found the culprit so fast.
So let's watch.
Have you just had some guys trying to sell a phone here?
Yeah.
Where are they? Right. Stand over there. Do not move. Okay. Officer Teacher, do not move! Move away now! Move back that way! Move back! Okay, you're under arrest, suspicion of robbery. Don't say if you have to take some bitch with this girl. Everything's going to be given. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay. You as well. Out! Now! Get out!
I have no idea what he said. You wanted to listen to the cops, but you have to they have to pronounce words clearly.
Completely. And here's the thing. It's not that he's just speaking with a brogue. They're from there. They don't understand what he's saying. You can't need subtitles in real life and try to arrest people.
Absolutely. So let's talk about something you also do as a stand-up comedian, and that is travel.
You see
yourself in airports over and over again. And guess what? This guy named Sean Duffy, the transportation secretary, is tired of seeing people dressed like they're in bed. Dressed like they're hanging out in their living room. He's saying, pick it up a little bit. Come on, America, dress up. Don't wear slippers. Don't wear pajamas in the airport. Is he overstepping his authority?
No, please. I'm so excited. If he wasn't married, I'd make out with him. I'm so excited for this guy because this is what it's like. You know what it's like for me to have to sit next to you in your SpongeBob SquarePants underwear and you're 56 years old?
And you smell.
This is ridiculous. Put your pants on. Dress like success. When I was a kid, it's okay if it's kids. When I was a kid, the only time you wore pajamas was at the drive-in because they were going to leave you locked in the car all night if you fell asleep on the way home.
Different story.
It's a different story. Do not. And what's the point of wearing your pajamas? You got all the dirty germs. You're going to start a whole nother pandemic because you're dragging them all around every airport.
Mr. Secretary, you're well within your means, according to Tammy. I'm glad you're doing this. America, it's up to you to respond. Next, there's bars that welcome in singles and there's bars that don't want them. In fact, there's a bar over in England that is saying if you're solo, coming here alone to drink, pick another bar. How do you feel about this? Solo drinkers, don't come in.
Well, I think, listen, no shoes, no shirt, no service. But the bar is called the Alibi. So they already were having problems, okay?
Right.
They already knew what customer, what demographic they were catering to. I also think that we would never have had Norm.
Right.
We'd never have Cliff Clavin.
Just hanging out.
They met in the bar, and then history was made.
Right.
Sometimes it's those, but you know what happens nowadays? We have TikTok that does all the annoying facts. You don't need a human being.
But Tammy, they can't have it both ways. They can't tell us to put down the phones. They can't tell kids to start talking to people. At the same time, ban solo people from coming into bars. That's the way you do it.
Yeah, he's going to be solo by himself at his bar. People are going to stop coming in.
Absolutely. So some of the themes, if you're a cop and you want to arrest somebody, don't mumble. And number two, if you're a kid, drink.
Well, and also shame is good. You want to make America great again? Thank you, Sean Duffy. Bring back shame.
Thank you very much, Tammy. Thanks so much for coming in. Best of luck. Follow her everywhere you go. Don't forget, by the way, follow us on social media. You get at the show. You got Rumble, Instagram, X, and Facebook for me personally. You can join the Culper Club. That's exclusive. More on One Nation in just a moment. Don't move.
Losing weight is hard.
All right, before you go to bed, I want you to watch my brand new season of What Made America Great, only on Fox Nation. Here are some highlights. 5 new episodes. Here's a melody.
This right here is the bloodiest battlefield of the entire 18th century in all of North America.
And I believe we got our target.
By the time they got here, they were full of confidence. The type of fighting really turned the tide of the July 2nd battle.
I cannot believe I am inside the Cheyenne Mountain Complex.
The mysterious military installation.
After 9/11, we were focused on power projection. But now if we've got those multiple threats, a place like Cheyenne Mountain, getting this infrastructure ready to go is a top priority.
A date which will live in infamy.
This is the original speech.
This is the original. When he was president during World War II, he worked in this room.
You will love it. And they did a fantastic job at Fox Nation producing him, did every one of the interviews. Also, quick note. I hope you check out my radio show every single day from 9 till noon. Got Lawrence Jones, Roger Zackheim from the Reagan Institute. Don't forget to catch me on Fox and Friends in just a few hours. I'm going to jump in the shower. Thanks for reminding me. And as always, two messages. Stay within yourself and keep it right here on Fox News. Nowhere, you do have nowhere else to go.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down a road and back again. Your heart is true.
Someone convinced you that homeschooling was going to be so much fun and you've got to give it a try. You're never going to look back. And you said, okay. And now you're sitting here thinking, what in the world did I get myself into? I've got you for history. For years, we have used America's History Volume 1 and 2 by Tuttle Twins. I love it because it's open and go. My kids love it because it feels like extended story time. I would highly recommend you check out America's History Volume 1 and 2 by Tuttle Twins. Pick these up today. You will thank me for it later. And you've got this.